I've been hearing the expression Bitcoin for a long time, and I'm not sure, what is it, a currency or is it like a poker chip? Let's bring on someone who knows a little bit about it. So we have Jerry Brito, who's with George Mason University. Appreciate him taking the time to spend a few minutes with me here. Jerry, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I appreciate you being here in Seattle on KVI this morning. What exactly is a Bitcoin? I guess it's a currency for online transactions?
Yeah, so Bitcoin is the world's first completely decentralized digital currency. And so what it allows, basically, is to send money between two people online. And now you might be saying to yourself, well, we've had this for decades. We've had PayPal, and we've had things like Microsoft Points or Facebook Credits, which are essentially digital currencies. So what's special about Bitcoin? And what's special is the decentralized aspect of it. Until the invention of Bitcoin, in order to send money between two people, between somebody watching the football game at home and the kid holding up a sign, you always had to have a third-party intermediary between them, for example, PayPal, right? Mm-hmm. And the reason you need to have that person is because otherwise you could spend money twice, right? So if what PayPal does is that when I send you $100, they deduct it from my account and they add it to yours, and they make sure that I can't spend the same $100 a second time, right? Because it's been deducted from my account.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
Bitcoin solves that problem.
Now, you're
Bitcoin,
talking about PayPal, right?
PayPal, yes. Okay. And so what Bitcoin does is that it allows you to send money online without the need of a PayPal or any other of a Bank of America or Visa or anybody.
How does it work?
Well, Bitcoin also keeps a ledger where everybody's amounts are kept, except that it's not centralized in one place like the way it is with PayPal. It is distributed in a peer-to-peer fashion amongst all the users of Bitcoin. So that also makes it the case that every transaction on Bitcoin is public and available for anybody to look at, the same way, you know, except with PayPal it's not. Does that make sense?
Yes, but why does it need to exist if you have things like PayPal? What's the comparative advantage to buying something with Bitcoin as opposed to PayPal?
There's a couple things. One is it's cheaper and it's faster. So PayPal is going to charge 3%, 5% of the transaction. Right? They might not charge you as a user, but they'll charge the merchant. Right? Same thing with Visa,
sure.
MasterCard.
Just like a credit card, right?
Exactly. And you get something in return for that, by the way. It's important that they charge that because what you get in return is, for example, insurance. Because if you get scammed, you can always have that charge reversed, right?
Okay.
With Bitcoin, the fees are basically less than 1%. It's incredibly cheap. You don't get the reversibility, however. So you can think of Bitcoin actually as online cash, right? If I have a $100 bill and I give it to you, now you have it, and now I don't. There's nobody between us, right? It's a cash transaction, and it's not reversible. The only way we can get that money back from you, I can get that money back from you, is if I can sort of persuade you to give it back to me.
Of course, so, that $100 that you gave to me that belongs to me now and not you is backed up with the full faith and credit of the United States government.
Right.
In other words, it's based, the currency is based on something. You didn't just hand me a piece of paper.
Yeah, but that's right. Well, I mean, I'm sorry to say, but I did just hand you a piece of paper. What backs it up is, as you say, faith in the government, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is the fact that people believe that there is value to that and that it will be accepted. And, you know, the reason you accept a dollar from me is because you have faith that somebody down the line is going to accept a dollar for you in exchange for something.
Okay.
And so Bitcoin is no different.
No different?
Well, no different in the sense that the value it has is simply the faith people have in it.
Okay. So what are the pitfalls to using Bitcoin?
Well, it's like cash. And so, you know, relative to something like PayPal, if you have a $100 bill and you drop it in a fire and it burns, it's gone. If somebody steals it from you, mugs you and takes it away from you, it's gone, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with PayPal, you can always get something back, right? If somebody hacks into your account, let's say somebody steals your credit card and runs up charges, you're not liable for those. Visa and MasterCard, they're going to eat those charges. You might be responsible for, you know, a small deductible, but that's about it. So that's the insurance function that is available on payment systems like PayPal, like Visa, like MasterCard, and that's why they have those high fees. So you can think of it as a downside, or you can think of it as a new choice. Now you have a choice between using something that's a little bit more expensive but has insurance versus something that is less expensive but doesn't have that assurance.
Okay, like Bitcoin.
Like Bitcoin.
Okay, now the value of Bitcoin fluctuates. It's almost like a stock, right?
Well, it's a lot like a currency too, right? So the value of a U.S. dollar fluctuates relative to the euro, relative to the yen. It goes up and down. Now, the thing about the Bitcoin is that it doesn't just fluctuate, it fluctuates a lot. It's pretty volatile. And the reason for that is quite simply that it's very new, and so it's very thinly traded. There are not too many people trading it. Even though it's becoming very, very popular, it doesn't have the amount of trades, for example, that the U.S. dollar has, or that a very popular stock would have. And so what ends up happening is that any trade of a significant size can send the whole price swinging. So as more people come into the Bitcoin economy and begin to use Bitcoin, one could expect that the Bitcoin price would stabilize.
By the way, did you hear about this kid?
He
made the 24 grand.
Amazing.
Again, he held up a sign. The sign said, "Hi, Mom, send." And he has the logo of a Bitcoin. It's, circle with a B and a couple of
like a dollar sign bars through the B.
Yeah, sign bars through the B. And then a QR code. And I guess the way he made money is that people were scanning his QR code and sending him some money.
Yeah, he was basically online, sort of a digitally busking, right? So he put up this funny sign. People were amused. And what this demonstrates is how, you ask, what's the advantage? Well, imagine you're trying to do that with a credit card, right? How would you send this kid money, right, with a credit card? Whereas by having this QR code, all that QR code is, it's a visual representation of his Bitcoin address. And if you want to send him money, you just scan it, send, you're done. It's like it's easy as handing somebody over a bill.
So
that's the advantage.
He received 100 transactions totaling 22 Bitcoins, and I guess Bitcoins are worth $1,100.
About that, yeah.
And so he made 24 grand.
Yep.
But those 22 Bitcoins might be worth a whole lot more or a whole lot less next week, right?
That's right. And so that's why he has the option to cash out.
How volatile is this currency? What causes it to go up and down?
Well, again, yeah, it's the fact that it's so thinly traded, that there aren't too many people in the economy right now making those trades or even shorting it that makes it so volatile. But it was actually, and part of the reason that it goes up in value so much is because you have new media exposure. For example, recently there's been a lot of interest in Bitcoin because there was a Silk Road marketplace that was taken down. There were hearings on the Hill. And so this brought a lot of positive attention to Bitcoin. Whenever that happens, whenever there's a lot of media attention, new people find out about it, as I'm sure right now people listening might be hearing about Bitcoin for the first time. Then they go online, they check it out, they think it's cool, they want to get involved, and so they come in and they put money into the economy. And whenever there's a big spike of media attention, you have a lot of people coming into the economy, and it sends the price, sort of just roller coastering up.
Last question, Jerry. Again, my guest, Jerry Brito from George Mason University, talking about the world that is Bitcoin, online currency. Is there anything that could corrupt it?
In what sense?
It valueless.
Sure, if it loses people's faith that it could be used in the future. And what would cause that, for example, would be if the technology were somehow proved to be hackable. That has not happened to date. It's pretty cryptographically secure. A lot of folks have audited it, and they give it a seal of approval. But that's the sort of thing corrupt it, as you say.
I said last question. What I really meant, Jerry, was second to last question, and that is, let's suppose I wanted to buy something from Amazon, buy something from eBay today, and wanted to use Bitcoin instead of PayPal. Could I?
Kind of in a roundabout way. There are a lot of merchants today who will accept Bitcoin. So, for example, OkCupid, WordPress, You know, a lot of other household names are beginning to, you know, Reddit are beginning to accept Bitcoin. Amazon does not, for example. But, you know, it's growing. There are ways to buy Amazon gift cards or gift cards for other stores, Walmart, you know, Safeway, whatever. You can buy gift cards using Bitcoin. And it's a pretty seamless transaction to do that.
All right. I appreciate you spending some time with it. I think a whole lot of us just learned a whole lot more about Bitcoin than we knew 8 minutes ago. So thanks for being here, Jerry.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. Again, that's Jerry Brito from George Mason University.